Okay, the question was asked, should a person only look for an English-speaking wife when he makes aliyah? Or can you also marry a girl that speaks Hebrew and no English? Well, obviously, this depends on a few factors, but I want to address this on a few levels. First point is, technically, if you guys can communicate, so technically you can build a relationship. Technically. Realistically, you have to have either a level of competency by her or by you. You have to have a mutual language, because for most people, what you want to share with your wife is how you feel and what you believe. And your conversations with your wife are going to involve more than malaruchat erev, what's for dinner? There's going to be more to the conversation than that. I think, I hope, saying you're going to want to discuss your children's education, you're going to want to discuss where you live, you're going to have real conversations. So you need to be able to communicate. And you need to feel like you're understanding one another. Have we had students who married girls who did not speak English? Yes. Have they made their marriage work? Yes. Do I recommend it? Depends for whom. Really depends for her. For who? But you have to feel like you can connect to the person. What I would caution is that a person shouldn't be blinded, that he really likes the person, but he doesn't really know the person. He's really attracted to the person, but he doesn't really know the person. You have to feel like you're really understanding and connecting to the person. If you guys can get by, I don't think it's a rule. I'm saying, if you can get by and understand one another, and you see you're communicating, matovu manaim, I would caution that cultural differences can sometimes be difficult to bridge. It's not always so simple to bridge cultural differences. I'll give the extreme example, even though it'll sound extreme to you, but from there you can extrapolate, okay? I learned under a certain court, which officiated over different things, and one of the things they officiated over was divorce. So there was a couple, this story happened in the United States, where the woman came in and asked for a divorce. So the rabbi asked her, why do you want a divorce? So she said, I can't respect my husband anymore. So the rabbi asked her, why can't you respect your husband? So she said, because he's not a man. So the rabbi asked her, what do you mean he's not a man? So the woman said like this, she said, I grew up in Israel and I'm used to certain norms. And I go to my sister's house and I get so excited every time I see her husband, he's such a man. So the rabbi asked her, what's manly about your sister's husband that's not manly about your husband? So she says, he comes home and in the middle of dinner he gets upset about politics and then he starts yelling and he bangs on the table and you see a man. And the rabbi asked her, and what does your husband do? So she said, my husband's a mellow southerner. He comes home and everything's calm. And when he talks about things, he doesn't get too excited. And he's never yelled at me. And he's never banged on the table. So he's just not a man. So if the story wasn't a true story, I wouldn't have believed it. But it's important to understand that we don't understand the gaps of social norms. There are societies here in Israel where part of being feminine is that you wash the floor 5 times a day. And then when your husband walks on that floor, so you shrill and you yell and you tell him, you make me feel worthless and I can't believe I married you and I've never had a happy day since I entered this marriage. And you say all kinds of harsh things, and that's part of being feminine. So if you're part of that society, so you know that when your wife says that, it means I'm a little bit annoyed. But if you're an American or European, so when your wife says lines like this, you think you could bury yourself. You say, I don't know, you regret you married me because I stepped on your freshly washed floor? I don't understand, right? So if you're not from that society, you don't know how to interpret it. There are societies here in Israel where if you enter the kitchen and do anything in the kitchen, it's considered the biggest offense. I'm not good enough for you. I don't treat you well enough. I'm not a loyal enough wife. I understand the maids are better than me, because obviously I couldn't live up to your expectations, because you feel like you have to come into the kitchen. To us, this all seems weird. Beseder, but if that's a social norm, I did a circumcision for a certain Ethiopian family, and I came to give the wife the baby, and she stood there horrified, because they don't pass things to someone else's wife hand to hand. You wouldn't pass a baby to a mother. She like pointed to the bed, put him down. Don't pass him to my hands. She looked at him like, "What's wrong with you? So you're a rabbi, right? You're willing to pass the baby straight to me?" In their social setting, in their social norm, it was completely unacceptable for me to pass her baby. The differences in social norms are sometimes unfathomable. And that's where I would caution. You definitely could date Israeli girls, and you definitely could build a beautiful marriage. We have many of our alumni who married Sephardi Israeli girls and built beautiful homes together. It's possible. I'm not saying not. I'm just saying, buyer beware. Make sure you have real understanding. Make sure you spend enough time together seeing her and her home. And be prepared that it's going to be a bumpy ride. That there are going to be things that you cannot expect, but you're different on. And different in a major way. I can give you another example. There are societies in the world where the norm is you shower in the morning. And then when you come home and you're going to eat dinner with your wife, you better shower again. So when a woman from that society married someone who comes from a society where you shower once a week, there was a little bit of a clash there. He was a friend of mine. And he said to me, it's a little bit crazy what she wants me to do. I said, what does she want you to do? He says, shower. I said, what's wrong with shower? He says, I do shower. I said, okay, so what does she want? He says, she wants more than once a week. I said, okay. No, I've heard of worse things. But to his mind, this was like, I'm marrying a crazy wife. Okay, we all have our social norms. And you can't say this is right and that's wrong. Everyone views the way they grew up as the norm. And what everyone else does is weird. But everyone else looks at everyone else and says, they're living in a stable, they're living in a barn. It stinks in their house. But when you're in your own barn, it doesn't stink. Because you're used to the smell. So it doesn't stink. But the truth is, reality is, that you can't say that one is more correct. You can just say, I have to learn to adapt. The further the gap, the more you'll have to adapt. It's doable, but you have to be prepared for that.